Detta är kassett nummer 2. Det är fortsättning på intervju med Delbert Corcoran, Jamestown, New York. Och det är idag, 6 november 1985. Kassett 2, sida nummer 1. After the war, then the unions got a little bit more active.
They got more active than
outside help.
Yeah, that's right. See, they had we had help from auto workers in Detroit, Michigan. You know, Walter Reuther, head of the auto workers, that was headquarters for them.
Did you go there for any seminars and
I used to. I went to Cornell down here for summer school. That's you know, to for the organize for the men, you know, to. But I was just to you know, further your knowledge about unions and how they operate.
And what kind of right you had to.
Yeah, that's right. The rights and that.
Go.
Yeah, yeah. But otherwise, I was on the negotiating committee here, and then because I didn't go to Detroit, you know, but because the recording secretary didn't need to go. It was mostly the president, vice president, and the part of the union that would go.
Did you have to send your minutes into the headquarters, like in the UAW, or?
Yeah, we kept them here, and then they once a year they went over them to see if there was any. We had to keep track of everything in the minutes of the meeting, and
so they know what was going on in the chapters.
And they would have international organizers that would come here if we had any trouble. And
so now then, when they put on a little bit more pressure after the war, were the management afraid then to lose some business, or how could they get away with it? Because then you start to ask for more time off and a shorter work week.
Then there was more strikes then, and then more management become more concerned because you know, they had to pay out more, and they had a lot of trouble with the workers. They would you know, they would they complained too much, you know. And we used to have every morning in the shop, why they would grin, you know, and the committee would grin and talk with management whatever problems they had. And yeah, the unions got stronger and stronger, and the management, of course, got their own people that they educated, you know, and you know, be a personnel manager, and they was always the ones that we went in to talk to. And of course, they was more. They was no fools, you know. They got into it too. And I mean, the personnel manager was a real, you know, man was educated, and he could talk out. You know, mostly average union man never had much education or anything, because like they would be college guys, like these management had, you know. And so they could talk them. You know, and so they didn't get too far a lot of times with their union.
How did they succeed though, the union? Because they used.
Yeah, they kept going to school, and then each guy kept getting more knowledge of how union operates. You know, and that's how they kept. See, if you once you get a leader, well, then they would go to Buffalo to. Study, you know, in a school there that the UAW set up, and they would get educated there, you know. And then if a union leader got, like we had one there that become quite powerful in the union, so he'd become a organizer. He joined, he went to Buffalo, and he quit the shop, you know, and become an organizer. that's where they would work that.
So then they could meet the management head on.
And then they could meet the management then, and then they really, you know, had somebody that knew what they was talking about. And
well, I suppose the management, they always said that times are not too good.
Oh yeah, they always had that, you know.
But they never showed their books for you in any way.
No, they didn't have to show their books on that. See, like Monitor Furniture, they was telling them days about how Sterling, Jamestown Sterling, paid some small wages and how they could compete with them, you know. So they'd have to go out of business, but Monitor Furniture went on to be one of the bigger ones in town. But then in the meantime, why, France bought Monitor Furniture, and then they eliminated them entirely. Now there is no more Monitor Furniture. See, they was right down on Steel Street next to the power plant, so they just had an auction here 2 weeks ago, so they sold the plant to the city of Jamestown. See, that's the way all the furniture factories are going in Jamestown. But each organization, like the United Auto Workers, like the United Furniture Workers, they got kind of a bad way because they got communists into that organization, and that kind of fizzled out. So United Furniture Workers didn't mount much after a few years. They kind of don't mount nothing now. But the UAW was strong because they was the coming thing, you know, and the big auto workers from Detroit, Michigan, you know, and that's how they got their start.
Like Blackstone, Cummings, they're all UAW.
No. See, oh. No, they belong to a different union. They belong to a machinist union. No, the auto workers, the only ones that belonged to them was the ones that made parts for a car, like we made ball and roller bearings and automobile bearings. The machinists, like Blackstone and them, they belong to a different organization.
Yeah, but Cummings, don't they produce?
Yeah, Cummings, but they don't. They're different people entirely. They don't have no organization in there. Cummings is a big company.
Independent.
They don't have no unions in there. Cummings is a different thing entirely. They never had no unions. They have like a working company all together in their company, and nobody is boss or head of anything. They have a different, they don't belong to auto workers.
How does their work then compared to the rest of them?
Well, the Cummings is a good place to work, but you can only get in there. They'll interview you, you know, if you had any union activities at all, you wouldn't get no job.
So they're still going on the screening process?
They still, no.
Yeah, but do they have a right to ask those kind of questions today?
Well,
I mean, they can't ask you what kind of religion you have anymore.
Oh, no, I mean, that's nothing, yeah. No.
But the rest of it, they find out who you are before they...
Yeah. See, that it ain't hard to do that today, you know, yeah. No, the only thing auto workers like, of course, the Blackstone makes radiators for Chrysler, but they don't belong to auto workers. They have a different union that they belong to. And then, like some factories, they belong to the machinist union, and then the others, they have another union in the factory. They belong to two different unions.
Yeah. But isn't this strange, though? How can the auto workers now in Detroit, they're putting the car together?
Yeah.
Or Belvedere, Illinois, yeah. And all over.
Yeah.
How can they see between the fingers that a non-union producing radiators, for instance?
Yeah.
How come they go along with that?
Well, they have to, because they don't have no control over that part of the...
Blackstone is too powerful then to compete with.
Yeah. Well, see, Blackstone has their own union that they go by, and they don't have to belong to auto workers or anything. See, each big company, whatever they're producing, they belong to different unions. Some don't even have unions, you know, today. Yeah.
So they're still going
Yeah.
Independent in some.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So the management gave in then after the strike. You said 9 months strike.
Yeah, the nine months. And then we settled it, you know.
What did you have? What kind of compensation did the union give you then for 9 months?
Well, I mean, what we did was my brother and I, younger brother, worked there. Like we went out and got jobs, and then we just got out of the service, so they give us a GI pay, you know, of time, you know, that was, I think it was 3 months that they would give us money, you know, to, like we got $20 a week, it was, because that was a lot of money them days, you know. And then otherwise we didn't go on unemployment. We went around and found jobs, and then we picketed, you know, and then we got little pay for that, and then we got so that's the way we got by for the 9 months. It was kind of tough, but yeah.
Did the union exist then during the war years? You still paid in a few cents a month?
Oh yeah.
You were in service. You were,
yeah, I was in the service, yeah, yeah.
The people that stayed at the plant, did they pay in every month for the
yeah
union?
Yeah, the union went on. It wasn't very strong then, you know, because they held them, you know, they
but they were still active?
Boy, they were still active. See, they kept on, see.
How about the headquarters in Detroit? Did they help you off with any strike benefits or anything like that, or it was all local?
Yeah, that's where we got a little off from them, but not too much some days. But nowadays, if you're out on strike, well, heck, you get pretty good help, you know. But them
the
days,
national organization.
Yeah, that's right. You get so much a week, you know, like you get probably around $40 a week just to go to picket, you know, because they have a big strike fund, and millions of dollars, you know.
It's been added.
Oh yeah. So then it isn't too bad on them, but them days with the guys, we would go out and get jobs, you know, and then go picket, you know, like.
Were you sitting in at any? No, you were not at the meetings then. Yeah. This 9 month strike.
Yeah, they would have meetings, you know, to see how the thing was coming out. We met in the old theater in Jamestown, because there was a lot of people there, you know. We would meet there every so often.
So this meeting was in 1967, though.
Yeah, well, that was way after.
No,
see, that was after. No, they would meet, you know, and then they'd have offer them a contract, you know, and then they would either take it, accept it, or not, you know.
And they kept on for 9 months.
Yeah, they kept on for 9 months.
So what do you think then? Was it going to be a dead issue, or?
Well, no, they held out, you know. But
nobody was working.
Nobody was working.
The whole plant shut down.
That's right. Yeah.
How could they survive then, the company?
Well, they'd all made all kinds of money during the war. They wasn't in hard shape.
Oh, I see. So they had.
Oh yeah, they wasn't that hurting, you know, because business slacked off
maybe
anyway.
They were glad that you were honest.
Yeah, that's right.
So the tool and everything.
Yeah, it didn't cost them too much.
Because they had to retool them to peacetime activity.
Yeah, I know it. See, they were still getting money from the government, you know, because it was cost plus, you know, whatever they made them to cost them to put out the barren plus, you know, then they get money on top of that. So the companies was making good money.
And this company was called.
Myron Rockwell Corporation. Marlin Rockwell Corporation, yeah. Yeah.
So then they finally got settled, and what happened? Did you have to give in on your demands, or did they meet your demands?
Yeah, you know, they met, you know, they didn't get everything, but they got better working conditions, and they got a raise, you know, and then they got a certain raise a year, you know, and they was going to get another 10 cents an hour next year, and then. Then that would be settled until.
And there was a 3-year contract then.
Yeah.
So your demands at that time, were they more related to better working conditions rather than more increase in pay?
You see, then they got so they would bring in that they would pay for your insurance, you know, and I mean you got. Hospitalization and that paid, you know, a lot of your fringe benefits was better than getting a weekly wage, you know, getting a little more money in your pay envelope.
Because you didn't have to pay taxes on that then.
That's right. You didn't have to pay tax on that. And then like we had a good retirement pension plan, you know, they paid your medical bills and all that, you know. So that's what was counted.
But still no coffee break.
Oh, then they started 10-minute break or like that.
And there was in the contract then.
That's right. Yeah, because the buzzer would ring at 9:10, and you had till 9:00.
And you see both sides. In other words, you see no coffee breaks and coffee breaks. Which was the benefit to get the coffee break thing for the workers to relax?
Nah, you could. It wasn't that bad, but I mean, nowadays they have too much of that stuff. I mean, you know, they take advantage of it, and just like they used to blow the whistle, you know, so 25 after, like we worked 9 hours or 8 hours, and then we got time and a half for overtime, you know, after 8 hours, you know, which we didn't get before. So then they blow the whistle at 25 after 3, and that was the time you're supposed to have the wash up and get ready to go home, and they would run to the clock and stand, be already washed up and ready to go home, and then stand there for 5 minutes. So you see, and then there's another thing, they negotiate for more vacation. So then the personnel manager bring out a card, and he said, here you are. He said, we didn't have to take our vacation. We could work during for vacation time, like to go in and clean up machines, you know, and work in the warehouse, counting stock and all that. So we could work if we wanted to. We didn't have to take 2 weeks off. That was generally in July. And they took 2 weeks off in July. And so he showed where 90% of them didn't even take the vacation. Why do you want more vacation when you're not even taking it? So then the union had to kind of pull their horns in then, you know, and say, well, then make them take the vacation then.
So then, people rather work then to get more money too.
Yeah, you'd get paid for 2 weeks vacation. Plus, you'd work that, so you'd get double money. So people would rather make more money than have the vacation. So then they cut them out on that, you know, and said, well, you've got to take the 2 weeks off then.
Well, there was the law.
You know, yeah, I mean, yeah, they paid you for 2 weeks. So then they had to take their vacation. Of course, you could take, I mean, 1 week off, and then take your 1 week off later, like if you wanted to go hunting or change something like that. You know, if you wanted to or take off at Christmas time, you could take your other week then, you know. That way the factory keep on working, you know, it wouldn't all be shut down because everybody was gone at the same time.
So they never shut the factory down then in Jamestown?
Yeah, they
during July or?
Yeah, well, they generally did once a year to clean the oil out of the machines and all that. But then if they was busy, then they would do that, and plus running right through, you know, they wouldn't bother to shut down, you know, when they had a lot of work. Mm-hmm. So that's the way they used to operate. Because I'm talking about, I mean, Myra Rockwell, it was better than most places, and, you know, furniture factories, different thing too, you know, because they didn't have to clean up machinery and all that, but they had their paid vacations too, but that's the way they operated.
So did you become a foreman at the...
No, I was always, see, they had 21 lathes in our department, and then I worked for them before, and then I was a good lathe operator, so they made me a setup man. You know, I set up the machines, and then the guys worked and run piecework, you know. Mm-hmm. So I become a setup man. That way I got a good working wage, and then I didn't have to work piecework. So I was setup man. And That was a good job.
You ambulated between the different...
Yeah, because then I could go in any department, and if they said anything, well, then I was in there for a part, you know. I could stroll around the whole shop, you know, and it wasn't that hard. Because I'd get the guys set up, and then they'd be busy working, and then I had to take care of the machines if they broke down, you know, to go get parts or parts like that. But that was, I'd rather have that job than being a foreman or anything. See, once you become a foreman, then you're out of the union. See, then you had no protection. Like if they wanted to fire, then they'd fire him.
This
like
is a the lot. End of the story.
Yeah, that's right. So a lot of the guys, you know, that it was one way of getting rid of them too, you know, because if a guy got too, they make a foreman out of him, and then if they didn't like what he was doing, then they could fire him. See, they had no protection.
Did they happen?
Oh, that happened at times, yeah. Because a lot of the time it was their own guy's fault. They would be drinking or something, you know. Well, they had a lot of drinking problems with even the foreman, you know, yeah.
Well, I suppose it's a stressful job, not all.
Yeah, that's right. See, you work for a big company like that, it's...
They demand
That's right, they demand, and they want to know why, if a guy scrapped some rings, you know, you had rings, you know, you call them baron, that's what they call them before they put it into a baron way. You know, the boss would say, well, where was you at, you know, or the head boss, and how come you didn't watch that, you know, and so they could get in trouble too, you know. So it was quite a job, you know, they was always after him, you know, the management, the superintendent and them to get more work out, you know, and get good work out. Yeah.
So if you look back now here in Jamestown, if you take the management and their descendants, and then you take the regular worker and his descendants, were the management right not to give the worker more pay, or because they all have survived more or less, but the management seems to have survived much better.
Yeah,
even during the hard times.
Yeah, but management, one way, you know, they was looking out for their own profit and that, and a lot of the factories was too much, you know, for their own self, but. Like say Crescent Tool and them and Meyer Rockwell and them places where they have a good feeling towards the management in labor, you know, that they really needed to get together more and work together more. Yeah.
But you think now, for instance, the war years, the management could really pull in a lot of profit.
Oh yeah.
And they did.
Oh, they did.
Why didn't then the servicemen that came home after the war and everything, they had, no salary to speak of at all. I mean,
see, that was it. See, they could see that, because like I went, see, when I was drafted there in 43, I was working in a defense plant, but they needed the men so bad that they drafted you anyway.
How old were you then? You were
33. I was 33 when I went in, and Michael was 6 months old. Yeah, and like this one brother that lives here, he had two boys and a girl, and he was working in a defense plant because he come in just a little while after I did, and he was drafted in 44, so he got in the Battle of the Bulge. And he got taken right out of Myra Rockwell. So, I mean, so that you know, working in a defense plant, you had to know somebody or be in good with somebody above to
so
get
deferred.
To get out of the draft board. Otherwise, you could get deferred, you know, if you meant, you know, enough to the plant. So they needed you there better than they did in the service. But, of course, I wasn't that valuable to him, so I got drafted just like my brother did. Yeah.
But you know, the management, in other words, they made a lot of profit.
Oh yeah, they made a lot of profit.
So you would think they would give in to some of your demands then, and have you off for 9 months on the strike.
Yeah, I know, but they...
I mean, that was a rotten deal.
But you see, there was some of the old men that was the head of the the directors of the company, they was a lot of like A.C. Davis. He was an old furniture man, you know, a big shot like Nord and them in town.
Yeah.
And he was one of the ones that wouldn't give in to them.
It was just a,
he wanted to keep the wages down.
They wouldn't even deliberate of...
No, they didn't want to even listen to him. He'd walk right by you on the picket line and ignore you, you know, and... Yeah. But what happened was that guy died, and the big shot died, and then after that, well, then it seemed like a strike was over, because he was one of the big men that was holding out, don't give him any more money, or don't give him any. See, that was the way Jamestown held down the city. Ford plant wanted to come in here at one time, but they wouldn't let them come in, because see, then it would be higher wages.
Yeah, so they just told them to stay on?
They wouldn't let them get in. Well, that the Jamestown was that way for years and years, that just the ones that's ahead of the furniture in Jamestown and the factories around here, the Chamber of Commerce, what it was, that they held out the, so they could keep the wages down.
But wasn't it a rather backward idea, though? I mean, the
yeah, it was
money
backward.
You give the workers, and the
but you see, that was the old people, the old timers, not to let the worker get too much above, you know, so they could be demanding and having little rights of their own. You see, they held you down all they could. And so that's how they...
Because
that
the worker is usually the one that spends the money in the community.
That's right. The worker, if it wasn't for the worker, well, the guy, the factory owner, what would he do? Who would he have to do the work? See, that's where your workers, I mean, like your, they call them Swedish Reds and them, you know, they had that idea that, you know, if it wasn't for us guys, who's going to do your work, you know? So pay me, you know, what I'm worth. And they said they didn't get paid what they was worth, you know.
Like the Swedish Reds now, they were looked upon as communists, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah.
How about the rest of the unions? Were they looked upon as communists too then, in one way or another?
Yeah, they kind of, they figured, you know, yeah, that we was like, you know, Democrat, that was terrible, you know, in Jamestown, it was next to being a communist, you know. That's the truth. I mean, Jamestown was all, the whole Stock County was all
Republican.
Republican, yeah, yeah.
How about now Sam Carlson? You remember him?
Yeah.
Was he actually a Republican or was
no,
he?
No, he was both. I mean, he could get, he was for the working man and he was for the, so the even the old Democrats, you know, like my dad was a Democrat, of course I am too. Why, he would go for old Sam Carlson, you know, because that's where he was. He was for both sides. He was like they should be.
How could he play that way, though?
Well, I mean, he was that popular, you know. He would see that the workers got their share, and he see that the manufacturers got theirs, and work together. That's the way any business will succeed, you know, because old Sam was that way.
So he was diplomatic then?
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Was he an arbitrator at any time in one of the...
Noise. See, that was way back before they even had any unions, but...
So he didn't have that trouble?
No, but no. But he's the one that started the municipal light plant, you know. He even wanted to start a dairy plant, you know. But he was a real...
Head of his time.
Yeah, real head on that guy, yeah. Oh. Yeah. You see, that was way beyond, they didn't even know nothing about labor unions or that then, but he was in power for years. Most of them, he'd talk to you and come on the street like anybody else, and he was a good man, yeah, yeah.
So how did City Hall now act to management labor? In other words, your 9-month strike here, did you have any problems or... running around in the picket line, it usually comes into skirmishes.
No,
there was nothing like that.
No, there was. See, there was more. See, where you get a lot of that is in these big cities where they got these young guys that come in, you know, and all they're looking for is
radicals.
Yeah, but we didn't have no trouble with the police department or anything, you know, anything that was, you know, where you just...
How did they act to the police department? Were they for the workers?
Oh, yeah, they was for the workers.
They were?
A lot of old policemen, you know, they was, they would help you out if they had to. Because the guys would drink in the bars with them, you know, when he was off duty, you know. And we had the old police department that was, you know, that everybody knew them, you know. And if you mind your own business, they didn't bother you, you know. And they could look the other way, like gambling or that, you know, like they have turkey raffles or that way. They would say, you know, say nothing, you know, and they wouldn't bother you. Once in a while they would raid you, you know, just to make it look good, but otherwise they was in on it theirself, you know, a lot of them. But I mean, that was, you know, that it worked better that way than to work against them, you know. You know, they was, the police department worked real good with us. We never had no trouble. So it was about 1945, it's just like we never had a mayor in Jamestown that was a Democrat until Mayor Carlson and some of them got in that we have now.
Well, you mean Stephen Carlson?
Stephen Carlson, yeah.
He has no relation to Sam Carlson?
I don't think so, no. Just happened to be the name. No.
So then they gradually got in, they were mostly Swedes then in the 20s and 30s.
Oh yeah.
Controlling the whole city hall.
Yeah, that's right.
Police force.
They controlled everything, yeah.
There was no way for any Democrats to get in there.
Oh no, Chamber of Commerce, you know, they had your name and if you got into trouble, you know, like if you were a radical, like, well, you couldn't get a job in Jamestown.
So Chamber of Commerce was a very important
that's right.
department.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. See, that was all controlled by the manufacturers, and that's why...
That's right, and they decided what the factory...
Yeah, they decided what... That's right, yeah.
Or, I mean, settled on to stop something.
Yeah, yeah.
So they were blocked right there.
That's right.
Cold.
Yeah, that's right. You didn't have a chance. I mean, it's the people just, you know, they had a most of them had a job, you know, but they never went anywhere as far as, you know, getting anything changed or anything.
But wouldn't you think then that Jamestown closed themselves off then to the outside world?
They did. I mean, they did, and now they're paying for it. See, with no Crescent Tools gone, Art Metal's gone. Art Metal Desk, you know, that was a big one. That started, you know, in Jamestown. And when that went out of business, you know, that hurt Jamestown. Then the automatic voting machine, you know, there's another one that was the first. The automatic voting machine was the first in Jamestown, you know. I mean, throughout the country, you know, that was started here. And that was one of their big businesses. Proto Tool, that was another wrench company that they also gone. And Cooper Industries brought out Crescent Tool, so they're gone. And all the furniture factories, they're about all gone, but just a few left. And
there was 52 of them, and yeah, 54 left.
Yeah.
But if I asked the management now of those companies, if there are some remaining, they would probably say the union killed it.
Yeah, that's right.
Is that right, though?
Oh, yeah, they would say the unions did it, you know.
Is that the right statement?
But it isn't the right statement because they lost out because, of course, another thing on account of the furniture is your lumber. See, your lumber had like the poplar lumber that they made. That's the lumber, you know what a poplar tree is, soft wood. It can be both finished and made stained to look like hard wood, you know, it was easy to work. And they had to ship that up from the south, see? So now it's the price of shipping the lumber up here. Now the factories has gone down where the lumber is, and that saves the shipping and warmer climate and all that. And so that's why, that's one part there. But they had no control over. But furniture factories are the ones that kept the wages down in Jamestown because they paid cheaper wages, you know. And the metal factories is what made the wages go up, you know. But Jamestown is on the way out, you know. It was around 45,000 here. It was this peak, you know, and now it's about 35, 36. And it's going down all the time.
So the young person...
They don't stay here.
They don't stay here.
They don't go.
They go to college and disappear.
Yeah, that's right. They go to college. Just like our three boys. I never thought they would go away, but they're all gone away because they went to college and then they met somebody else or else they got a different job, and so they didn't come back.
And they were never employed then in Jamestown?
No, they never had much employment at all in Jamestown.
Do you think they had the picture ready for them already? They wouldn't even try it settling Jamestown.
Yeah, a lot of them are that way, yeah, because there isn't too much here, you know. So, of course, a lot of it is they meet somebody else and then they marry and then they never come back, you know. Of course, that was the case of my two boys. But,
oh, you had three boys?
Yeah.
And they all?
Yeah.
Somewhere else.
Michael's, he worked for Watson's. That was another factory that's just about gone. They made metal cases and stuff, you know, and they're just about gone. And he got laid off there, and so. But that's the case of Jamestown.
You have the business college now.
Yeah.
There are about 300 students, mostly girls.
Community college, they call it.
Yeah, but they have a business college on the West Third.
Oh yeah, Jamestown Business College. That's the old school of when I was coming up, when I got out of, I only went to second year high, but if they graduated, they'd go to Jamestown Business College and become a secretary or some other job, you know. That's what the Jamestown Business College.
And there's about 300 students a year.
Yeah.
But there won't be 300 positions in Jamestown of the field.
No. See, they'll get a job and then they'll go somewhere else. They get in. They'll
get the schooling here. And
they'll get the school and then they go somewhere else. Yeah. They. And of course they got the community college down there. That's quite a big thing. But that's people that come here, you know, to study and then they go, you know. Michael went 1 year down to community college, but then he went to college away, you know. Yeah, the Jamestown Business College is an old, they used to train a lot of people, you know. Even then they had a Fredonia Normal where they went to up to Fredonia, that's only about 20 miles from here. That was a teacher's college. A lot of them went up there to learn teaching, you know.
How about the Swedes? have they stayed together in groups like the upper management and the worker in the, like Viking and Vasa?
Yeah, they...
Who are those people now in Viking and Vasa organization? Are they mostly workers or...?
Yeah, they...
You have some lawyers and doctors and...
Yeah, they don't have... They mostly, they even get Italians in the Vikings and that now.
Are
know.
Those people now, are they married into Swedes then?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Into marriages.
Right, yeah, and then they can become Vikings, yeah, because some of the names are Italian names now. They can join, you know, if they're relation or that, yeah. It's quite a variety in them now, you know. That's
so the old notion of the Italians are bad is gone.
Oh yeah, they kind of more or less now accepted.
They are respected as professionals.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they got a lot of
and lawyers and doctors.
Like they're lawyers and doctors, and they own like Spoto. They are Italian. They own a big auto parts place in town that started out years ago. And yeah, they're accepted now and they're just part of the, you see the whole council, most of them are Italians, quite a lot of them.
You mean city council?
Yeah.
How did they get in then? Through
because
Italians getting bigger?
And, you know, well, see, this is what it amounts to. They used to be in the public works, because they didn't have no jobs, so then they got on welfare, and then they go to the public works working for the city of Jamestown. So then they got to be foremen, and then they would work themselves up, and that's how they got into the city hall, see. So they...
And then they are active recruiting votes.
Oh yeah, yeah. See, they're active all over.
You think the Italians are smarter than the Swedes now of running the business?
No, they never will be. I mean, they don't have it far as brains goes. I mean, I'm not that I'm, you know, against the Italians, but...
You see practical aspect of it.
Practical part of it is that they got few that are that way, but they're on the average, they're not just don't have it. I mean, a lot of them don't go to school, you know, and they're just what they ain't too much for college, you know, either. And
so they still have large families, the Italians?
Oh yeah, they have quite large families. Yeah, most of them have 3, 4, 5, 6, you know, and yeah, they still have large families. But they're getting a more like, you know, like I say, all American, you know. They blend in with the rest of them, and they get along all right. Yeah, yeah.
There are no fist fights anymore, Donald.
No.
On Second Avenue.
No.
Hillside Park was the hangout, wasn't it?
Hillside, yeah, that's right.
They were.
Oh yeah.
Quite active.
Oh yeah. Hillside Park.
Swinging your fist, they said.
Yeah.
But that's time gone.
What?
Yeah, that's time that has gone.
That's right. That's different times then.
What do you think now about the future for Jamestown in regard to unions and the management? Will they understand each other better or be careful with the...
Yeah, they respect each other now more, and they get along.
Because the union guys are educated and can meet them.
That's right. They can stand up to them and...
They have lawyers.
And they have the background and everything, you know, and so they have lawyers of their own and everything, so they...
But you've been with it since the beginning.
Yeah.
You saw the...
Yes, I see the starting of it, and yeah. But now my opinion of it is that the unions have gone too far. They've just priced themselves right out of the market, especially the Teamsters Union. They've spoiled it because of their radicalness, you know, not letting the other, not they don't have no respect for the company, you know, or anything, and they expect them to give them more money, and they don't do any more for the company, don't bring them any more business. Same way with the unions in the factories, they're getting high wages now, and they don't do the work. See, Myron Rockwell, the Barron's company, is up. It was bought out by TRW, Thompson Ramo Woolridge. You know, that started out in Cleveland, Ohio. My sister worked for them in Cleveland, Ohio. And they started out, and they're a big company. They're like, just like General Motors. They own companies all over the world. So they bought the Barron's division. They call it the Barron's division. They don't call it Myron Rockwell anymore. And now it's for sale.
The
Barron's, the Barron's is a business for sale. So that'll be another knockout for Jamestown. They've just come out here in the past month that the Barron's division is for sale. So whether Pratt & Whitney or will buy them or not, they don't know.
What will the Chambers of Commerce do then in a situation like that? Will they invite the Pratt & Whitney, or will they say...
No, the Chamber of Commerce is...
They have no power, right?
They don't have nothing to do with that anymore. No, they're there for...
Names on the paper.
Names on the paper and that. Yeah, the Chamber of Commerce ain't nothing what it, you know, like it used to be.
But are they out seeking other companies to come in?
Oh yeah, they're trying to see if somebody want buy, you know. Yeah, they're working, but
what do they have to offer them? You know, like the Seattle plant now, they've been all over the country.
Yeah, I know.
They're giving you $500 million.
Yeah, I know.
What do Jamestown offer the companies coming in here now?
You see, that's it. I mean, all they can offer them is...
Labor.
you know, that's about it. I mean,
but they can't tell them don't organize, because then they're out immediately.
Oh yeah. They can't tell them nothing, you know. See, because Cummings, see, they bought out outside of Jamestown. They're way out there, so they don't have nothing to do with, you know, as far as Jamestown goes. Of course, they're Chamber of Commerce, you know, tell Cummings is here and all that, but they don't have no power over them at all. Same with Mar Rockwell, they don't have nothing to do with it. Of course, they try to. See, Jamestown ain't got nothing to offer, you know. We're not on a big highway or way, you know, and don't have no railroads or nothing to, you know, it's just a...
It's hard to get stuff out of here.
Yeah, that's right, you know, and it's not a growing thing, you know. There's nothing to set up business here, because in the wintertime you got your cold and your big high heat bills, you know, and snow. And see, Myron Rockwell put out a plant down in Plainsville, Georgia here a few years ago, well, 10, 15 years ago, and that's going pretty good, but they found out that they didn't have the help down there that they have in Jamestown, you know, the practical help that they need, the knowledge of
mechanics.
Producing mechanics and them. If they want to go fishing down there, they go fishing. They don't care about their job. That's a fact, they said. They're not the most not people with any knowledge of machinists or that. That's where they had problems down there. So they sent a few of the people down there, but you know, you can't locate people that lived here all their life and then go down south and live. And
so there's a different culture down there. They will take about 25 years to...
That's right. They'll take them a long time to break them in. And then their work was so poor down there that they had to send it up to Jamestown to repair it. So they, I don't know if that plant will keep on or not.
Do you think it's, like in the 20s? They were hard workers. In other words,
yeah,
they wanted to settle down. They wanted to build a house and have a family and buy a car. Today, do you think they're a little bit spoiled, that generation lives today? They like to have everything without the break.
They want to start at the top. That's what
they want, the fringe benefits before they...
Yeah, that's right, before they put any work in. See, like we count, like I got 1953, we decided to like live up the farm, so my wife found a plan in the Jamestown Sun, that was a newspaper at that time. It was $5 to send for the plan. So she said, I like that. I said, send for it then. So she sent for the plan, and this acre and a half of land here was her grandfather's. So we bought that acre and a half of land, just the land, nothing here, for $500. And in them days, you didn't have to have a building permit or nothing. All we did was, I first started out, I had the bulldozed here, and then had them dig the cellar out, and then I started, because Hugo helped some, and my brothers, but I laid the footer, you know, that's the beginning. And then I took the boards that was for the wall, the roof and that, and made that for the siding. And then we had to pour the cement with a hand mixer, you know, a big mixer. Got George Nelson, Hugo, and I, and my two brothers. We poured the walls in 2.5 days. And then we started from there, and then I put the blocks up and built the house. And didn't have to have a building permit. I could put my own sewer, septic tank in, and everything. Now you can't. If you buy a piece of land, they'll come in and inspect it, see if it could have a sewage system on it, if the land's enough so you could have a septic tank and all that. And you got to have a building permit, and you can't build if it hasn't got enough room for the septic tank. So see, your rights are already taken away from you you know, like
there's too many middle hands.
There's too much, too much red tape and power.
But it was necessary though with the zoning around the lake, because there was a
That was a different thing.
The lake
Yeah, but I mean, you like saying there, like that's the way we started out.
Yeah, of course.
See, I worked in the shop and brought up three boys. My wife worked too. We all worked together. You see, but it wasn't given to us. I mean, we worked them days, and that was a way of life, you know. But now they say, oh, you're so lucky you own your own home. Yeah, well, nobody give it to me. I work for it. See, the older guys, they used to work in that way, you know, where the younger ones now, they don't want to do nothing. Sit in front of a TV set. I never watched that thing. Yeah. I don't have time, or ever have something more interesting to do. You know, so then that's the way it goes, you know. But today, I mean, it's a different thing entirely.
It's expensive to live today.
Oh, it's expensive, yeah.
Fun and entertainment cost a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
Years ago, it didn't cost too much.
No, that's right. Just to give you an idea, they used to sell cement, you know, for, they call it by the barrel, four bags made a barrel, 94 pounds to a bag, you know, and that was $3.90 for four bags, no tax on it, no such thing as them days. Now today, a bag of cement is $5.49 for one bag, so you can imagine what the price of concrete is now when you, yeah. So that's, I mean, it's a different thing.
Too many middlemen, I suppose.
Too much, yeah. Just like this Medicare and all that, it's just gone too crazy. I don't know when it's going to end, because every time they negotiate a contract, they want more money, and where it's going to come
from. You were talking now about the Teamsters. Why did they side with the Republicans the last election?
Why did they what?
Sided with the Republicans. They voted for Reagan.
Yeah, because
they do that?
You know why? Because they thought that they would have more control or more.
This really went out of hand.
This last election was disgusting anyway. You know what we did, my wife and I, we didn't even bother to go vote. Just like they claimed Reagan got so much votes and all that, you know.
A lot of people didn't vote.
Out in Iowa, the farmers out there, there was the lowest voting in the history of the country, because they didn't want Mondale. Mondale didn't have nothing to offer. And the old divorced movie actor, what could he do? He ain't got no brains. That's a fact. I mean, it's... Yeah, he was just a second. He never had no education or anything to amount to anything. He was just popular because he was a movie actor and people sat in front of a TV set, and that's what put him in. See, he's just as old as I am, you know, 74. And who would ever think years ago that they would put an old movie actor?
Yeah, but the age probably won't, like you, for instance, could have a job like that.
Oh, yeah.
You are thinking clear.
Oh, yeah, but...
But it was his background.
Yeah, his background, but I mean...
It's flat.
I mean, it was flat, right? He wasn't in government. I mean, he wasn't worked his way up, you know, like some of the old-timers, like old Truman, you know. He was only an old storekeeper, you know, but he had brains. He knew what was going on. And like they was ridiculing him for dropping that bomb. Well, old Truman, he was in World War I. People didn't know that. He was a sergeant over across World War I. He dropped that bomb because he knew it was the best for the country and that would end the thing. And these young radicals running around poor Japan. Like that one guy said, that if he had been up that plane, he would have dropped it over the whole works. And you see all that has happened. I mean, that's why the Teamsters went in with them. Just a lot of young guys, you know, and they think they would get in with the White House.
Opportunists.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing that there was. And you see now the country's in biggest billion, $2 billion debt, you know, that it's ever been, you know, and see, he hasn't done nothing to try to lower the wages or try to get things done. It's all he claimed he was going to clean out, and he put more people into the White House that helped him to get into the White House. And see, the government is just running crazy. I mean, it's just...
And they will affect also local communities.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. See, now we don't get the help that they get, you know, for the schools or that, you know, and so even the roads and that, you know, that they have to let them go because they don't get no aid from the federal government, and everything is just going down. You don't, it didn't happen to go up this way where you have to stop at the light.
No.
And then go, that bridge there, that was flooded out 2 years ago, and there's so much red tape and stuff just to put a little silly bridge in, that it's going to be another year before they put that little bridge in. Mm-hmm. It goes right on the main road up to Bemis Point. I mean, the bridges around here are in bad shape. The roads are in bad shape. See, you could put people to work, but they don't have no money for it. Yeah.